Yes, you're ready to go.
Mike, sound check then? We're good?
Good.
Dave? Okay, good. All right, AGP, thanks for making the adjustments for tonight. I know a lot of stuff came up at the last minute, so thanks again for all the work.
I'm actually going to speak to an agenda item, but I need to leave and get back to work in about 15 minutes. So thank you for indulging me. I want to speak to the fact about the wastewater treatment plan and looking at the two options. That we continue to delay a decision about location because the CMC project has stepped in, in my opinion, at the 11th hour. It wasn't on the front burner when we were doing the major workshops a couple of 3 years ago. And as most of you know, having served on the city council for 8 years, I'm quite intimate with this project, so I know what you've been doing and haven't been doing. I've read the latest staff reports, and I've read the latest minutes. I think Mr. Buckingham made a good point the other night when he talked about if the county is so interested in a regional plant, why wasn't that done earlier with Los Sosos or in some other fashion? So my point is that there, within the staff report itself, it talks about good reason to go with the 41 highway option as opposed to the CMC, and it lists reasons for that. So whatever pressure you are getting from the county that was observed last night at City Council, I find inappropriate because this is a Morro Bay decision. It's a Cayucas decision. And, of course, my loyalty is to Morro Bay. And my feeling is that enough delay has occurred. And whether you choose to postpone it one more month, which is unbelievable to me, I kind of get that. But if you can't pick up on your city manager's comments, if you can't pick up on your consultant's comments, if you can't respond to the feedback that your community has given you over the last 10 years, something's wrong. So I really hope that you take to heart where your community is coming from. This was not an option that they voted for or were looking seriously at. And I think it's quite telling that within your audience tonight from either community, neither town has done a good job of advertising and telling your community what's going on. So I think that's another piece that each of you need to look at. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. Anybody else for public comment for any item not on the agenda, unless you can't stay?
Sure. Bill Martini again. Yes, I was attended the meeting last night and spoke about regional, and it seemed like actually it was a water board that was just, I shouldn't say pounding the city, but they're going, hey, it's your decision, but if you don't go here, you know, that's the way it appeared, that they were just really forcing their thoughts and ideas on site location. And again, I'll come back to Los Sosos. Why didn't the regional mention Los Sosos as an option for a regional plant? I mean, it's much closer. There's only 2 miles between Morro Bay's sewer trunk and the start of Los Sosos trunk line. I talked to the county engineer at the time, and they stated that Morro Bay could tie in. And as far as supersizing a brand new plant in Los Sosos to accommodate Morro Bay, was approximately $20 million. The CMC site has already been upgraded. I think from Cayucas, it's like 12 miles away. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's a no-brainer to go with the Morro Valley. I mean, that would be my first choice. But before you even consider the CMC, you also have to throw in the mix Los Sosos because it's much closer. It's much more beneficial. It is extremely regional. So where the water board's head is at on not looking at Los Sosos, I don't understand. I don't know what the hidden agenda is on CMC. The only thing I can figure is they have been fined $500,000 for polluting. Way in the past, I know one of the persons running the plant, I believe he went to prison because of falsifying. And I think it's strictly trying to solve a problem that the county and CMC has. And all I'm saying is that's all well and good, but I don't think Morro Bay and Cayucas need to jump in on that. And again, the first recommendation is right behind town, solve our water problem. Secondly, if you're going to go regional, relook at Los Sosos. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. I assume you're making your comments for item C2 when we get to that.
It ties in.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, sure.
If you're making comments for the staff report or just general comments, just wanted to differentiate between public comment on items not on the agenda or if you want, or if you're speaking to item C2.
No, this is general comment. Marla Jo Bouton-Sadowski, North Morro Bay. I just wanted to speak about the presentation that was given, or the comment. A colleague of mine drafted a report called the ABC Plan, which was alternative bay cities, which was Los Osos Morro Bay, and the C was for Cayucas. We were laughed at, scoffed at, you know, regional board wasn't interested in it, the county wasn't interested in it, and since the passage of time where we see ourselves now as far as the city of Morro Bay, we need to retain our water. We pay for our water, we'll reclaim it and reuse it. And I just really wanted to make a comment about the regional board and LAFCO showing up at last night's meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Marlo. Thank you. Public comment is still open.
Richard Sadowski, Morro Bay. There's a couple of things that I want to say about this project on the WRF. And I've kind of been saying this for the last 10 years. And with this new city manager, maybe I can relate this in a language that he understands. There's a capacity issue here with Morro Bay and the Cayucas and the wastewater treatment plant as it stands right now. In the military, things it's known as a blibbit, and that's like 10 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag. And the reason why we have a waiver is because when we have surcharging events, huge tourist events, we're able to dump into the ocean. When we build a plant, we got to make sure we can handle the peak dry weather and peak, peak dry weather flows that the influx of the community is. Plus, we have a huge vacation rental area, especially Cayucas. Cayucas' vacation rentals are, it's big. And then you end up with a house that's empty, and then all of a sudden you have 10 residents, and that has a big effect on the flows. And I did a flow study back in 2003 and 2004 that shows the huge problems with that. Also, the public has not been aware, but it needs to be known that the CMC option is inclusive of the Morro Bay outfall being used as a brine disposal for the county. Okay, they're going to put in an outfall pipe that hooks onto our wastewater treatment plant. Now, this was information that I got in a presentation by Dan Lloyd at Cayucas and Robert Innes when they were presenting to their citizens. So we got to be aware of that. And also, on top of that, recently in a local publication, there is the power plant outfall is going to be possibly rescinded from Dynegy's requesting a rescindment. So we don't have, for our own desal plant, a outfall pipe for the brine. So these are issues that we need to be addressing all in parallel, and we need to really take a look at what is best for Morro Bay first, and then the county. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. Thanks, everyone. Moving on to consent calendar. Are there any items for the Morro Bay board to pull on the consent calendar, consent agenda? Seeing none, I'll take a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion by Christine.
Second.
Second by Noah. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. President Enns?
Not to make your life more confusing, but there's a possibility that Cayucas might want to pull something, so I would ask that first.
Nope.
No? Okay. Then a motion would be in order the same as Morro Bay's.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Thank you. Second, please.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Mayor Aaron.
Thank you, Mr. President Enns. Moving on to new business, we have item C1, which is a report on status on the CMC alternative capacity analysis by Corolla Engineers. This is a staff report by Mr. Rick Kuhn. And President Enns, you want to lead us off on that?
Which one is that?
So item C1.
Okay, Rick, can you help us with that? Were there some Corolla report?
That yeah, good evening.
Rick. Last night, and you can give your same report out.
Sure. Thank you. Mike Nunley with MKN and Associates. Just to give a brief update, Corolla is still working on the analysis, as you all know. Some of the preliminary findings they have so far, based on some data they've received from CDCR for incoming plant for flows and loads at the plant, are that you are likely looking at there are currently two oxidation ditches at the plant. There are two clarifiers. There's a bank of filters, and then there's an ultraviolet disinfection system. And based on their analysis so far, and they're going to go into detail and with costs and that sort of thing, but what they have concluded to date is that at a minimum there will be two more oxidation ditches, roughly the same size of what's there now, to accommodate Morro Bay and Cayucas. There will likely be two clarifiers, possibly three, similar in current size. The number and size of filters, or the total number of filter modules, will double, and the total UV, number of UV units will double as well. And so that's kind of their preliminary conclusions. They're looking, the solids handling side, not to get too much in the weeds, but processing the sludge, that's a little more nuanced. There are things you can do with existing sludge processing facilities, like just run them longer. And so they're looking at some of those options to try to minimize the new infrastructure that might be required for solids. And so that's the update. Their plan is to provide a draft report for all of us into next week.
I had a question, Mike.
Yes, sir.
When we met with Regional Water Quality Control Board sometime in the past, they quoted that the current plant was running at about 0.8 million gallons a day, okay, and their capacity was 1.2. And Cayuca's capacity, I think we looked at as 0.2. So I'm adding 0.8 and 0.2, and I'm getting 1.0, and I keep thinking there's room for Cayuca's there, but not for both of us. The reason I brought that up is we have a staff report by Mr. Livick here, and it says there's insufficient capacity for either Morro Bay or Cayucas. And then, I believe in your report or a different one here, it says there's not capacity for both. So I wanted to clarify, would there be capacity for Cayucas alone?
Corolla has said no. But, and they've said no for either agency. Neither agency would be able to tie into the existing plant. Now, there are a couple of clarifications that we need to get from them are, is that based on what the plant design flows and loadings? Is that based on contracted obligations? And those are some of the things that they're going to work through. I couldn't speak to the specifics of the data right now. We've left that to them. We just wanted to try to help them get the data and run it themselves. So I couldn't speak to the observations of current flows and loads.
So let me ask a little bit then about oxidation ditch systems. I understand that they're quite capable of absorbing peaks much better than a lot of other systems. And when we looked at the numbers with the CMC plant at 1.2, and I believe we were designing for about 1.5, mm-hmm. I couldn't quite see with that extra 0.4 in there why we were going to more than double the size of the plant when we know the that system can absorb peaks better than any other system. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, and I can say one of the advantages of oxidation ditch technology, like you mentioned, is that it absorbs wet weather peaks very well. I'll bring that question back to Corella, and we'll make sure it's specifically addressed in the report. The modeling that they're doing, they're developing a process model, and part of what they do is they're running wet weather flows, dry weather flows, all sorts of things through it, and comparing it to the effluent requirements. So, but we'll make sure that that's specifically addressed in the report.
Okay, I think that's all the questions I have. Anyone else? Cayucas?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Mike. Sorry. You know, one thing that comes to our mind, and what in Cayucas we have considered the construction of a storage tank, which would equalize our flows, that is, nominalize the peak. And I just wondered if you might want to relay that to them, too, as an alternative strategy for making the plant, wherever we go, operate more efficiently and more
CMC, we have the warden, Elvin Valenzuela, pardon me. And then from CDR, Fred Cordero.
Cordano,
okay. And then is it Troy King, sir? Okay, Troy King from CDCR. Thank you. Thanks for being here. And I think... Rob or Dave, could either one of you explain, I think there was a question out there from public comment about all these people that were here last night and kind of, I believe there was an invitation extended, so maybe we can clarify that for the audience.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We did invite CDCR, the regional board, and county staff and Supervisor Gibson to attend the meeting and to provide, you know, any information that they might have regarding the process we're going through so that they could educate the council on their views on the study that's going forward right now. So that's why those folks were there at the meeting, so that we could hear from them directly what they are, think about the project so far and what their thoughts are on a joint and regional facility.
Thanks, Rob. And so basically, I think we can go through that same scenario. We went through our presentation and staff report. Following that, following going into public comment, if you're so inclined to speak tonight, we would extend that. That basically opened up the discussion prior to public comment to hear from the agencies that were you know, involved and invited. So with that, we can move on to item C2, which is the review of City Council discussion and action of the final site selection of the water reclamation facility as read per our agenda. And I would turn it over to Mr. Buckingham to start us off.
Thank you, Mayor Irons, President. For those of you that were gracious enough to be in the room last night, this is going to sound very similar. But it's great to see you again. For those that didn't get the joy of participating last night in the room, but from the comfort of your own living room, we're glad you're here in the hard seats with us now. So what we'd like to do is for those who didn't see the presentation last night, to communicate really, especially to Cayuga CSD, the information that was presented to the Morro Bay City Council last night, and to so to apprise you of where Morro Bay City Council, what they heard, and what direction we sense that we're going. So we're going to use the exact same presentation that we used with the council last night, but we'll couch the words a little bit differently sometimes if there was a decision made, so that you get the feel for that. So our purpose last night was to present John Rickenbach's preliminary report, which encapsulates reporting from Corolla, Cleith, Walker, and other experts, and concludes from the research and the data available that the Rancho Colina site is preferable in an apples-to-apples comparison of Rancho Colina versus CMC. However, and it's named critical, however, the Corollo cost analysis is not yet complete. So we would be, my sense is anybody, I'll put it personally, I think I would be crazy to make any decision almost without the cost data available. So want to make clear that we don't have the cost data from Corollo, and that's one reason why the City Council last night chose not to make a final site selection, but to wait for the final Corollo report to make sure that we had all the data available. Go ahead. So the Morro Bay City Council had previously identified the City Council meeting last night to make a site selection decision. The staff gave them a number of alternatives. You see them there on the screen. The first two were make a decision for either CMC or Rancho Colina. The third was essentially to decide to go on a parallel track and continue to study both sites for the foreseeable future, really, until one presented itself more clearly than it might have already. And the recommendation from staff and the decision that the Morro Bay City Council made was number four there, which was to decide last night, pending some confirmation of additional inputs, critically the final Corollo report, to make a final decision at the Morro Bay City Council meeting on the 9th of December. But we anticipate, based on the current analysis, that that decision would be for Rancho Colina unless especially the cost estimates come out significantly differently. That said, as we go forward, at the end, I'll sort of come back to this, and there's a number of other nuances that
CMC and Rigetti for a long time, and then all of a sudden Mr. McIlvain made an offer. So if that's of any interest, we have an offer from someone in Cayucas to do the same thing as Mr. McIlvain has done. So these things will continue to pop up. I just wanted to clarify that the CMC site's been on all along.
So as Mr. Rickenbach and I sort of continue this, it'll be clear that CMC has been on the table for at least a year, that has been assessed by the Morro Bay process. So that was public comment, and I would not find that accurate. And also, the third course of action up there was not looking backwards. It was a course of action looking forwards. What could the council choose to do? We did not recommend that the council chooses to wait an additional 2 to 24 months. But they could certainly choose to do that. Our recommendation was that we anticipate that we will have enough information on the 9th of December to make a decision, and that's what the council chose to do, was to continue and likely make a decision on the 9th of December.
Okay. Could you clarify what you mean
President Enns, if I may, having gone through this last night, we went through the entire presentation. It seems to have, having been at the presentation, it answers some of the questions that you just asked. Now, I would just ask the board's indulgence to go through the presentation, and I think a lot of the questions will be answered, and we can follow up with those questions if you'd be so kind to indulge us.
What exactly would you like me to do? Wait till the end and then ask my questions?
I think that's exactly the way we went through it last night. The presentation will cover, it covers a lot of things, specifically the questions that you just asked. And so, I'm asking just if you want to go through the presentation, or if we're going to switch gears here and go through a question answer through every step of the process. Is that what you propose doing?
No, I just wanted to clarify the public comment.
Okay.
And notice that your CMC site number 3 up there, the date at the top of the page was November 12, 2014. And I wanted to clarify that number 3 item has been on the list for a couple of years. So when we're throwing out information here, it kind of frightens me that we're throwing out inaccurate information. So I can wait to the end, and if that pleases the city, let's do that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President, Mr. Mayor, members of the board and council. I'm John Rickenbach, and I'm sitting in the corner here. But what I'd like to do is really present what we did last night, which is not just what the report found, but also a little bit of historical context, most of which you know, and we'll clarify some of the issues relative to what was studied, when, and why we're doing it at all. So I also, you've already met Mike Nunley, and he's here to answer any questions on the technical side. I don't want to go into great detail on technical issues here in our presentation, but certainly if you have questions about it, we'll certainly do our best to try to answer those. So what we're trying to do is summarize what's happened to date from the council side, from the city side, and the direction provided to us relative to what we needed to study. We want to summarize what our current report has found and go the next step, our recommendations as carried forward by the council last night for next steps. The place to begin with this, and it's really a point of discussion that would be worth following up with CSD, is the city's goals for this. Now, the city's goals for the water reclamation facility are on the screen. They were established through the process that began long ago, but was clarified in the past year. And essentially, it's these, and I'd add another to this, and I'll just walk through them for those maybe watching. Producing tertiary treated water, reclaiming the water for a variety of purposes, which could be ultimately for consumption or landscaping or agriculture, allow for on-site composting, energy recovery is a potential goal, dealing with contaminants of emerging concern, perhaps designed to allow for other city functions, including a corporation yard potentially, and also making sure it's all compatible with neighboring land uses. And, of course, implicit in all this is that it's cost-effective as well. So this is the departure point for the analysis. Now, it would be useful also to, while this process is moving forward, get a clear vision on CSD's goals, if there is going to be a convergence ultimately. I'm stepping ahead on this, but this is something to be thinking about as we move forward. So I want to go through 2013. It began a process to find a new site. Ultimately, there was a lot of stakeholder input, public outreach, workshops, and so forth, and I'm just listing in general terms what those were from the summer through the fall and winter of 2013 into the spring of this year. Several council workshops, reports delivered, the options report, we all call the options report, which looked at a refinement of the Dudek study, looking at several of those sites and also some new ones, taking the current wastewater site out of the equation and looking for sites. That study was based on criteria set forth through extensive public input, priorities, and so forth. Ultimately, the options report looked at seven sites and came to the conclusion that the best site, if the city were pursuing the project on its own, would have been a site in the Moro Valley. And that study did consider the CMC site, and that's where the CMC site was carried forward. It was actually carried forward in the Dudek study as well, although dismissed early on in that study. But here it was carried forward longer. It wasn't found to be a very high-ranking site if the city were to go it alone. However, in that process, we did hear from the county. We did hear from the Department of Corrections indirectly because the county had written them a very extensive letter in October of 2013, which is actually included in the current report as Appendix A of the report, as a reminder. And the county at that time had suggested that there may be merit in a regional facility at CMC. That's something that our reports hadn't looked at specifically, but it did suggest there were a lot of reasons why the county might want to go there, and a lot of them had to do with water and long-range tie-ins that could benefit the county ultimately, cited many other potential upsides. It did also point out that it might be beneficial to have Morro Bay and Cayucas participate in that process because it might be more cost-effective for everybody involved. Although at the time there were no studies backing that, but it was a good question to explore. From that letter, there was apparently going to be follow-up between the county and CDCR on that question, And in that spirit, the council moved forward with the basic recommendation of saying, okay, yeah, we like the Morro Bay or the Morro Valley site the best. However, let's look at the regional option if we can, and we'll assume that the county and CDCR are going down a path to really explore this in some depth. Well, as that carried forward into the spring, we also produced a report on the reclamation opportunities in both the Morro and Chorro Valley, and to dig a little bit deeper into the sites that were recommended in the options report. There were really four sites in that report, three really, but that the council asked us to look at in more depth. Two in the Morro Valley, one of which was Rancho Colina. One was called the Giannini site. One was the Tri-W site in Chorro Valley. CMC was not looked at in that because it wasn't very high ranking in the options report. At the same time, the council did provide direction in both December of last year and May of this year, and this sort of summarizes the nature of that direction. For one, it confirmed the goals that I put up before in terms of what the council, what the city wanted to have in a new facility. It also, in February of this year, established a 5-year goal to be operational, and there were a lot of reasons behind that, but among others would have included the fact that the existing treatment plant is old, it's very expensive to maintain, and so forth. There were a lot of goals that could be achieved in a newer site, a newer facility. Its location was problematic, as pointed out by the Coastal Commission. So there were a lot of reasons that drove the city to want to go forward as quickly as possible. And also underlying it all was the fact that the regional board had, several years ago, pointed out that they wanted the plant upgraded or changed or so forth, and that's where we're at right now. So there was some urgency expressed at one time by the regional board. So then ultimately, that was the council direction right there. And the idea was to study the regional question through the summer and fall of this year, lead to a decision that we're close to making right now. So let's talk about the report itself. The report was intended to respond to council direction and to compare the CMC and Rancho Colina sites more directly, Rancho Colina being the preferred site of the city, and also look at them in a regional context, which we hadn't looked at before. Ultimately, we wanted to also put an apples-to-apples cost comparison on that. And to do all this, it was going to be beneficial to have outside help from outside consultants to have a more independent look at all of this. The reason why, for example, Carollo is involved is not only because they're most familiar with what's going on at CMC, but also because they're not affiliated with any of the city's efforts to date on this process. It was going to be as independent a look at this, what Carollo could be looking at for potential expansion at that location. It's actually located right now in the crook of two streams, Chorro Creek and a tributary, so it's sort of sitting in a little, surrounded on three sides by creek and habitat, open to the southeast. Rancho Colina sits a little bit more open in general, with the potential for putting a facility in many directions on that site. The lower part of the site, while not exactly level, is very gently sloping. So there's a lot of options there. There's also, it's not encumbered by a facility that would remain. There is actually a wastewater facility there that serves the neighboring residential area. It's about 43 years old, outdated. I think the regional board has been excited about the possibility of removing that if it were to move forward at this location. So in our comparative analysis, we really considered a lot of key issues as the framework of this: the cost, funding options, permitting implications, potential water use benefits to the city in either the Chorro or Morro Valley, the logistics of putting this together, and ultimately the implications for the ratepayers of Morro Bay. Obviously, CSD would have its own concerns along those lines. In that, it was based on a lot of technical studies, too, that I'll talk about in a moment. And these are the key questions in the report, which we really ticked off one at a time. And you can really look at it as a chart and a matrix, which we did put together in the study. First and foremost, are there unique regional benefits for either site? Are there cost savings associated with either? Water supply benefits that are unique to one or the other? Reclamation opportunities, logistical constraints, physical constraints that might affect the design of the plant? Are there environmental issues, especially as they relate to the Coastal Commission and their concerns? Are there discharge limitations that might affect the design? What would the can the city's five-year goal be achievable at either site? What would the city's role be in operating either site? And ultimately, a comparison of the funding advantages, if there are any at either site. As was noted before, there are four key technical studies that go into this. The one we talked about a lot is Corollo, but also we engage Kestrel Consulting to look at different funding options and really to drill down on are there advantages here, one way or the other. Larry Walker Associates and Associates there, experts in permitting issues, really looked at that in some detail. And we also engaged Cleith Harris to look at the water supply benefits in the Moronchoro Valley. Quite notably, none of these consultants were involved in the options report, so we wanted to get a fresh look at all these issues. These were all reported to the council on different dates in the recent couple of months. You've been apprised of this as well. The one report that hasn't come out, of course, is the Corollo report. So the preliminary conclusion, as the city manager had noted, is that Rancho Colina appears to be better overall. Furthermore, CMC faces some fairly substantial, I'll call it very substantial, logistical challenges. Of course, the cost analysis is not complete, and that could affect the report's conclusions. It certainly will shed more light on the facility needs and the design. So let's talk about each one of these questions. Are there unique regional benefits to either or both sites? I think the presumption had been that the regional site was going to be CMC and that the Rancho Colina site didn't have that same benefit. But when you really look at it through the benefit, through the lens of regional advantages, they both actually have advantages. The major one for CMC really is you would combine multiple agencies at one site, and that has positive permitting implications for the regional board. You only have one treatment facility, for example. Actually, one piece of testimony that the executive officer of the regional board said last night was it also has the potential of reducing the risk and sharing the benefits among more agencies, spreading the risk, if you want to put it that way, at CMC. Rancho Colina has its own advantages. It certainly would maximize regional ag reclamation, and in the Moro Valley, with avocados, that represents about 20% of the avocado acreage and value countywide, which is certainly a very important regional economic component. Both sides are fairly equally close, actually, to the existing water distribution network from Whale Rock and Choro Valley pipelines. So that actually is a fairly even situation. And the big issue at CMC is it will likely take longer to realize the regional benefits because of the logistics we'll be talking about soon. Cost issues we won't get into today because we don't know the answers yet, but we'll certainly report on that when the Corollo study is complete. Now, in terms of the water supply benefits, Spencer Harris of Cleith Harris delivered a report a couple of weeks ago to the council about this issue on the Choro and Moro Valley, and the short answer here is both valleys have water supply benefits. The very short answer is that CMC within the context of water reuse, and we looked at it in some depth. We did look at this in the options report in some depth, and here we're actually able to expand on what we said in the options report. Keep in mind in the options report, and particularly in our reclamation report, we really focused on lands in the Choro Valley closer to the city. So we didn't report on everything that might have been in the Choro Valley farther away from the city. Well, in this report, we did, because CMC is actually about 6 miles from the city. We wanted to capture everything between CMC and the city. And when we do that, it actually, you see there's more reclamation potential there than we had reported before. Upwards of 500 acres of potentially irrigable ag. Much of that, actually, though, is at higher elevation than the CMC site, which sits roughly at about 190 to 200 feet above sea level. Some of the ag potential for reclamation is up in the canyons to the north of Highway 1. It sits a little bit higher, but certainly there's a lot of irrigated ag there. It's a very important piece of the Dairy Creek Golf Course is an important component here. Right now it's being served by upwards of 180 acre-feet a year of water from the site. It could use potentially 250. Of course, the city's under a mandate to try to produce 770 acre feet a year of reclaimed water for various uses. So that's a goal that's in the city's general plan as it is right now. We're striving to meet that. The Rancho Colina site has roughly twice the amount of irrigated ag acreage, and much of it is much more concentrated nearer the city and nearer the Rancho Colina site than the acreage in the Chorro Valley is relative to the CMC site and the city. So the distribution network for reclaiming the water would be a more compact situation. It's also a more acute problem. As we all know, they're cutting down trees in the Moro Valley. The water is running out. So, and we're talking about a very valuable crop, avocados, relative to those that are grown in the Chorro Valley. So when you add it all up, the potential benefit relative to ag reclamation is higher in the Moro Valley than the Chorro Valley. This map is just for discussion purposes. Later, if questions come up, but shows a lot of the properties in the two valleys for reclamation potential. The light blue in the Chorro Valley, those are properties we had not reported on previously in the options report, but are potential irrigation sites, ag irrigation sites in the Chorro Valley. And here's probably the biggest nut to crack in the whole report, and that's logistics. We want to go through this in some depth here. For the CMC site, there's some real substantial logistical issues. We started this report under the assumption that the county and CDCR had been in great discussions to ultimately transfer operations from the state to the county, and that had proceeded quite some ways. In our subsequent discussions with them and the regional board in meetings and phone meetings and calls and so forth, we learned a few things reported in our report. That, first of all, things we already knew. CDCR has recently upgraded the plant at CMC to address issues that were already problems relative to the regional board. So they've just done that. We found from them that they're not particularly interested in expanding again soon. Of course, they're here today and can comment on that in better detail than I can. So they're not motivated per se to open the can again at this point, but aren't against the idea if it makes sense. Now, even if they were actively for the idea, they have logistical issues internally. They have to deal with other state agencies, including the State Public Works Board, potentially General Services, to get their approvals and to before even coming to the question of, yes, we'd like to go forward at this location. From what we heard, that's a process that 6 months is not going to happen. It's more likely in the year to longer range from what we said, just for their internal discussion, which would involve environmental studies and such, that at the end of all that, they'd be able to come forward and say, hey, we'd like to go for this, or no, we've decided not to. So that's a process that may play out over a matter of a year or two or longer before a decision yes, no happens. And if it's no, we're back to where we are today. So that's an important logistical hurdle. We also heard from the county, especially in the light of Pava Ogren leaving the county, who really had a lot of the driving force behind the concept and actually wrote the letter from October of last year. With him gone and with the county's priorities being what they are, we've heard it's not a very high priority at staff level to move forward at the CMC site anytime soon. They've got plenty of other things to do. They're not against it per se, but it's not on the radar in the short term, at least at the staff level. So when you combine the state's lack of interest in opening the can again and the county not prioritizing it, and the state having to go through a lot of a process to get to a yes-no decision, we're looking at a long time before you get to a point where CMC might be a viable option. It's a very important consideration, especially in the light of the city's five-year goal, because it's a wastewater facility. And providing those services to the city and potentially Cayucas was something that David Church at LAFCO looked favorably upon. Of course, he admitted it's early. But also said it's not even necessary to annex potentially, but if you don't, then you have to go through county approvals to use that land and so forth. So logistically, a little simpler at Rancho Colina. Then we wanted in our report to talk about physical constraints affecting the design of a plant at either location. Of course, that a lot depends on the Corolla report there, because they're trying to figure out a preliminary design. And what we're doing, just for your information, is taking Corolla's assumptions at CMC, cost and design-wise, and trying to apply those exact same apples to Rancho Colina to see if it works there as well. So that requires a lot of iterative process there, and some preliminary sketching of potential layouts on the sites, which could, you know, obviously is going to shed some light on the whole cost issue and also the siting issue, and relates directly to physical constraints. Let's talk about environmental issues that the Coastal Commission might be concerned about. We talked about this in some depth in the options report, too. What we found here is there's not a lot of difference between the two sites here. They both have the great advantage of not being on the ocean, not being on the coast. They don't block access. You can't see them from the coast, so that's a good thing for both sites. Both have some environmentally sensitive habitat nearby, not on the sites per se, but of course there's creeks right nearby. In the case of the CMC site, Choro Creek sits right next to it, and case of Rancho Colina, Moro Creek is nearby downslope. And of course, you're dealing with potential discharge into either creek, and that's got to be dealt with. Prime agricultural land is an issue at CMC. The entire site sits on prime soil. The entire surrounding area is prime ag as well. It may not necessarily all be used for ag, but the soils are prime. Rancho Colina is not as constrained. The lower part near the highway, Highway 41, has potentially prime soils if they're irrigated. Not the same quality soils as at CMC, but again, potentially an issue for Coastal Commission. Something that is unique at Rancho Colina, while neither site supports known cultural resources, in the case of Rancho Colina, pipeline infrastructure going between that location and the city would have to traverse a known and large cultural resource site east of Highway 1, generally north of Highway 41, which is fairly extensive and has been well studied since the early 1980s in conjunction with many development projects in that location. So a pipeline going through that area would have to be mindful of that, would have to figure out how that could be done. In the case of other projects through that area, mitigation has been done in order to deal with the issue, but it would have to be dealt with that in this case as well. Energy consumption and greenhouse gas emissions are concerns to the Coastal Commission, and in the case of that, if you want to think of greenhouse gas emissions being a function of energy use and energy use being a function of distance to reclamation and also both Cayucas and Morro Bay, the extension of infrastructure at CMC is much, much longer, would require higher energy use undoubtedly, which leads to greenhouse gas emissions being likely higher at the CMC site. So that would be a relative higher concern for the Coastal Commission in that location. But overall, they aren't too different in terms of the environmental issues that are involved at the two sites. We get to a key question for the city. Is the five-year goal achievable? I won't belabor points we've already made here, but I think the short answer is at CMC, no, I don't think that's possible for logistical reasons, if no other reasons. At Rancho Colina, it's potentially possible. Much would have to do with how quickly Cayucas and Morro Bay could develop a framework if they are going to work together on this and then moving forward in some fashion. We have laid out a five-year schedule, which is potentially doable at Rancho Colina. We can get into that in more detail if you do have questions about that. What would the city's role be in a regional facility? Well, at the CMC site, you know, they wouldn't operate, they wouldn't own, they'd be a customer. The county would operate ultimately if it were to happen. CDCR would retain control of the facility, of the site. One unique thing that CDCR has gone on record telling us is that while that would certainly be true of the facility, the pipelines to get there would be the responsibility of the city and Cayucas to pay for them, to operate them, to maintain them, so that you'd have this hybrid operation where the county and state deal with the facility, Cayucas and Morro Bay would deal with pipelines to get there, so you'd have to come up with a framework that makes that all work. In the case of Rancho Colina, it'd be more straightforward. The city would operate or direct that. Some framework between the city and Cayucas could be developed to operate and maintain it, or maybe Cayucas is a customer. We have no idea, but that's something to be worked out between these bodies if that goes forward at that location. It would be highly competitive, and there's a lot of people who want that, so it behooves the agencies to move quickly to start really getting in line to figure out how to get ahead of that wave before the wave crashes behind us. So that's the question on funding. No real advantage one site or the other. So the very short summary here is Rancho Colina appears to have more relative advantages CMC has some real logistical concerns. The five-year goal can't be achieved at CMC. Rancho Colina, potentially it can. But, of course, the Corollo study will shed light on cost and design issues, and a final recommendation ought to come out of that with the benefit of that information. And that's really what our recommendation has been and what the council told us to do. And that, those are the next steps. Of course, at that point, then we start into the master planning process. Or if it goes to CMC, then that kicks in a different kind of master planning process that involves the county and CDCR. So at this point, I want to hand it back over to Mr. Buckingham to complete the report.
Great, thanks. So the way we ended with our council yesterday evening was to really pose a couple of the questions that we've been hearing about the process, about the site, and sort of try to answer some of those questions. Questions like these: is Morro Bay rushing to a decision? Why not delay? Sort of getting at the regional nature of CMC. A lot of talk about CMC as a regional facility, and you can see some of the other questions there. So those are some of the things that we wanted to sort of repackage and address as the questions that we've been getting, which are good questions. So on Morro Bay rushing to a decision, there's been some critique that this has been a rush and we should slow down and also back off the five-year goal. So Morro Bay has been actively planning for a new wastewater treatment facility for 10 plus years, looking at, along with obviously Cayuga CSD, so looking at reconstructing or rehabbing on the existing site, reconstructing on the existing site, and then moving to a different site. So it's been a fairly long process that we've been going through. Second, that extensive new site research has been going on for almost a year and a half, since April 2013, following the Coastal Commission denial of the existing site, almost 18 months of pretty serious research on a new site. The November 13 options report, which is now a year old, is not only evidence of that good research, but also demonstrates, and this goes to your question earlier, sir, that clearly both Rancho Colina and CMC have been in close consideration for over 12 months. As we noted, CMC was one of the six possibilities noted in the Morro Bay options report of 2013, and as John just covered, it was not looked at in more detail then because it was number six of six in the engineer's initial assessment of all of the options. Morro Bay has been working very closely with our residents, both in public comment and conversation, and through our water reclamation facility citizen advisory committee. Morro Bay has recently, as you're well aware, slowed our decision, spending both time and money in order to reconsider the CMC site. And I think a great point that was brought up last night is, as we take this decision for wherever it is to Coastal is going to require a robust alternatives analysis. So this is one of the positives of reconsidering this is that we have certainly done a robust alternatives analysis for looking at both these sites now. We don't anticipate any significant emerging benefit to Morro Bay for the CMC site. That is, we don't see right now anything that could be put on the table that would be sort of the oh wow for CMC. If that comes, then we'd be crazy not to review our decision. But right now, we just can't anticipate what that is. So why not delay further? There's been some critique that, again, acting too quickly and running, we might as well run the current treatment facility for several more years. Why rush again? As you well know, the current treatment facility, despite Bruce's best efforts, is old, it's creaky, it's expensive to maintain. Additional major maintenance would be required were this to extend in the sort of 7 to 10 year period instead of being done with it in the 5 to 6 year period. There's some risk of flooding, right, obviously, in a in a prime beach there in on Morro Bay Strand, putting the city at some right now that could be put to other use. So isn't CMC preferable because it there's a regional quality to it? I think we'd argue that Rancho Colina would also be a regional waste site, both for Morro Bay and Cayucas, should we hopefully agree to participate together at that site, if that indeed is the right place for us to go. Rancho Colina is close, as you saw in John's presentation, to other water networks. It's close to the Whale Rock pipeline, which goes right by it. It's fairly close to the Chora Valley turnout. Therefore, water could be put back into those pipelines, better treated water in the future, and the reclaimed water would have just as regional in nature as Rancho Clean as it would CMC. And pumping clean water is a lot cheaper than pumping dirty water. So reuse at either location also, we believe, would have a regional benefit. Both the Morro Valley and the Chora Valley are outside of the Morro Bay Incorporated city limits. The ag there, one favors Morro Valley ag, another sort of favors Chora Valley ag, but the reuse quality would also be regional. So under what circumstances, we sort of asked, is a regional facility preferable for the city of Morro Bay? And this is frankly a sort of the selfish question, but what's good for us about a regional facility? The first is that if there were leadership at levels above the city, I'll say, the county level, the state level, to lead us and to help us establish a site at the CMC, that would be a big positive for CMC. If there's a solid expectation of completing the project in the 5 to 6 year period, if there are regional resources, staff time and money committed that outweigh the potentially increased cost of building at the CMC, and of course we'll have to wait on that to get the Corolla report. And then if the long-term operational financial benefits outweigh the long-term cost of pumping the sewage 8 to 10 miles up the valley. So we sort of sense that the primary benefits would be one set of administration, one set of maintenance, although both of those would likely have to be slightly expanded. But is that savings worth the cost of pumping sewage probably four times further than pumping sewage to a Rancho Colina site? What does CDCR think? They can probably stand up in a couple minutes and tell us in person. So we've had some good discussions with CDCR on the phone in the past month or so, and they were at the meeting last night and made some comments in person. I think it's fair to say that our discussions and their description, it will take 1 to 3 years to get to a decision on whether the CMC site logistically or from sort of staff coordination is possible. So, and it's possible that we could work toward that for a year or two, and then the answer would still be no. CDCR has recently made significant financial investments in the CMC site. And it's likely, I think, that with that site now upgraded, that they will turn their resources elsewhere to the other logistical challenges that they have around the state. And our assessment is that CDCR likely doesn't have the organizational interest or motivation to really exhibit leadership toward a CMC site. That is not a statement, again, of a lack of interest or ability. It's simply that with all the priorities that they and others have, that this may not be one of them. What does the county think? The county does see some limited long-term benefits to a regional CMC site, and frankly, it's mostly running the site more effectively. in the near term, the midterm, I don't think the county sees any great benefit to a regional site, except that the site might be run more effectively. The county has perhaps in a nascent manner tried to work with CDCR in the past and had sort of a similar response that there's, I said, not a willing partner, could be a willing partner, or they could be an excellent partner, but it's just not a priority right now. And do the staff work for a CMC site for a county, we'd have to figure out the governance, whether it's county-owned, unlikely, county-managed, county-run site at CMC. They would have to staff up, and that staffing would cost money, and those of us sitting in the room here would be paying that bill. And finally, if I were told that the benefit of a regional site is that there are regional resources to build it, then I would probably be jumping up and down raising my hand. But it appears that there is not regional money in order to build a new wastewater treatment plant at CMC, but that we would be footing that bill either Morro Bay or Morro Bay and Cayucas together. What are the primary benefits to Morro Bay of a CMC site? First, Morro Bay could get out of the wastewater treatment business, like I just mentioned. There may be less expensive storage solutions for the storage of treated water at the CMC site. So that is, there's state land up there, CMC, Army land, National Guard land, and so it's possible that there could be agreements that would result in cheaper storage solutions, but it is likely that it will be more difficult to find cheaper storage solutions in the 41 Valley. Although it's also, and we've done a little bit of talking on this, it's also possible that that some of the farmers and ranchers up there would like to have a storage tank, storage pond on their land, and that there could be some good negotiation done there. The third benefit of CMC is that there may be less negotiation required for water reuse at the CMC. So going into Rancho Colina, the clean water benefit to Morro Bay is that we would be able to pump more out of our Morro Bay wells, but that would require the farmers in the 41 corridor to agree to use reclaimed water, treated water, for agriculture and not to pump ag water out of the ground, but to let it flow down to our wells. So those are we're looking at the positives and negatives of all the sites, and those are the positives sort of the CMC site from the Morro Bay perspective. Will the City Council have the information they need to make a decision on the 9th of December? I believe that they will. Based on the current data that you've just seen tonight, we believe that Rancho Colina appears to be the preferable course of action. The cost comparison and the physical constraint data are all that has not been reported on yet. And obviously, the cost comparison is a significant point, and we look forward to examining the Corolla report in significant detail and to get that information. If the costs are equal, then and all other things being equal right now, Morro Bay City staff would recommend Rancho Colina to our council as the best option. If Rancho Colina is more expensive, but completion in 5 to 6 years, which it has been a stated goal of the Morro Bay City Council, if that is strongly preferable over completion and sort of delay into the 6 to 10 year range, then Rancho Colina could still win, and the council would have to wrestle with how much more are we willing to pay at Rancho Colina in order to have a site completed, let's say, in 5 to 6 years instead of 6 to 10 years. So those are the four alternatives that I stated at the beginning, and the City Council decided on number four and passed a motion stating to decide now to make a final decision, and I probably would reword that at this point and that is to make a preference, a final preference statement at the Morro Bay City Council meeting on the 9th of December. Here's how the 11 questions or requirements as laid out by our city council sort of stacked up. So those are the 11 requirements that John walked you through one by one. Here they are all on the same side slide. You'll see that Rancho Colina wins on 4 to 4.5 of those, that there's a tie on 4 to 4.5, and that there are two outstanding, the cost comparison and the physical constraints for expansion. But I guess I'd say again how the cost comparison turns out can be significant, because we'd probably want to weight those things, and if one were sticking with key state agencies, including the Coastal Commission, and I'd say including the Cayuga CSD, as we hope to work together on whatever project is best for us combined going forward. It would allow the CSD additional time to communicate the contents of both the current consultant reports, the upcoming Corolla reports, and the past 12 months of Morro Bay reports to your constituents. I'll say our council thought that was important to ensure that we all had time to review and communicate the final Corolla report before making a decision. And it would allow the state and the county adequate time to take actions should they choose to, demonstrating leadership and a commitment of resources to lead all of us to a CMC site. As I said, we don't see that in the tea leaves right now, but we laid that out there very clearly, and there was good discussion last night, so perhaps the discussion last night would result in one or more agencies sort of stepping up to the plate and saying, yeah, let's all work together toward a CMC site. So while at this time, based on the facts we have, we believe that the Rancho Colina site is best for Morro Bay and likely for Cayucos, and it also allows for legitimate regional benefits. A regional site at the CMC, at which Morro Bay is a customer, also has some benefits. As noted, though, we have not seen the level of sort of energy and leadership from the other agencies that indicates that CMC may be a viable option even in the 7 to 10 year period. So if state agencies again and the county take action before our 9 December meeting, then the staff may recommend a delay of the decision past 9 December in order to work toward with state agencies and with the county toward a CMC site. And I'd say in addition to those to leadership, resources are critical in the equation. And whether it's state water bond, working with the state water or the regional water board, and with the county to potentially make resources available, that's something that would cause us likely to reconsider our recommendation. So based on all those things, the staff recommended to the council, and I've got one other comment after this on our sort of vision for the way ahead for the JPA, or a consideration for you, is to decide now, last night, and they did, to make a final preference statement at the city council meeting on the 9th of December. To review the final Corolla report and the Rickenbach reports when they are complete. To evaluate the recommendation from the Citizens Advisory Committee, and then also in the meantime to be considering, in case the cost comparisons come out, depending on how the cost comparisons come out, to consider how much more it's worth to finish the project in 5 years. So if Rancho Colina comes back $1 million more expensive than CMC, is it worth paying the extra $1 million to get this done in 5 years or 6 years instead of 7 years to 10 years? So how much is that worth? And it's something to wrestle with in the few weeks until we get the final cost comparison. And I'd also note that needs to be measured against the cost of maintaining the current facility, the lost redevelopment opportunity cost, and also the cost of the water that we're flushing down the drain and into the ocean right now. Finally, I don't have a slide for this, but our sort of recommended way ahead, at least my perspective, is that Morro Bay decided last night to make a decision on the 9th of December. The JPA is hearing that tonight, tonight hearing Morro Bay's current assessment, and unless there's a significant shift, Morro Bay will likely make a preference determination on the 9th of December. And as I've sort of stated, and John's made pretty clear, assuming the cost comparisons are close, then we anticipate that preference to be Rancho Colina. I think it would then be very, very helpful if both Morro Bay and Cayucas at the JPA meeting on the 11th of December presented their preferences, and Morro Bay presented said our preference is X, whatever it turns out to be, likely Rancho Colina at this point, and lays out the rationale for why, using the Rickenbach report as the basis for that, which frankly would be a lot of rehash from tonight. And then if Cayucas CSD would be so kind as to lay out for the JPA your preference for, which at least has been stated previously, for CMC, to present the WSC report in whatever level of detail so that we can all see what the preferences are.
All right, I'll direct questions to the Cayucas Board. Mr. Lloyd.
Thank you very much, Robert. I'd really like to hear from the CDCR folks, just from an overview perhaps from what you might have said last night, or how bleak it looks for you trying to assist us in assessing the ability or the obstacles to working out a common interest in the CDCR site. Is that something that somebody would mind speaking to? And thank you very much.
Mayor, Elvin Donald's welcome, the warden. I've never seen a report so long that never mentioned the word inmate.
That's us.
We all feel like one.
That's us.
You know, as I talked to the mayor as I first came in, I said, you know what, the Department of Corrections and the CDCR, we always want to be great neighbors with the people around us. And as a the warden there, I don't have that ability. I know Fred can speak to that. And whatever I can do for you guys and get you in contact with whoever and with Fred, who I would contact, that would be something way above us because the department is so big. So, but good report without the word inmate. Just saying. No. So, Fred, you can speak to the other side.
Thank you, Warden.
Fred Cardano, Associate Director with Facility Asset Management Branch, CDCR. Fred Cardano, Associate Director in Facilities, Sacramento, CDCR.
Thank you.
And so, as the warden mentioned, you know, there are things that, you know, in terms of our authority that we're able to do at our within our department. Given the situation here, we've spoken with the County of San Luis Obispo. Mainly the interaction that we've had has been around water and wastewater, and we have discussed partnering as far as having the county operate our water and wastewater plant. Our focus primarily lately has been on water and the availability of alternative reliable water sources. So we haven't spent a lot of time on the wastewater aspect, but we have talked about scenarios where the County of San Luis Obispo, were economically feasible, would operate our water and wastewater plant under some arrangement, some agreement. And so we haven't really got any time frame. We have until this discussion had come up, and we've had our recent conference calls, and knowing some of the time constraints you all are under, you know, I just tried to spell out the processes we would have to follow. Some of those things we discussed with the county just in our preliminary discussions about operating our water and wastewater plant, one being the complexity of transferring ownership versus just operating our wastewater and water plant. There are complexities with that as well, but as far as understanding, really, without the Carollo report, other than the description of what this expansion would look like on our site with the additional oxidation ditches, clarifiers, we really don't have any kind of an idea what the design might look like. So it's hard to really have a position as far as we're definitely open for discussion and new ways of doing things, new ways of operating. But until we see that report, we won't really have a good idea of what this might look like at the site in terms of the proposed capital improvements. And then the other consideration would be the operations, who operates, you know, the facility and the plant, because we do have operators. We're not we run the wastewater plant out of necessity. We have other prisons that have water and wastewater plants. We're just not in the business of being a utility provider. And I guess in this case, we're not interested in expanding our role as a utility provider. Our interaction with the county sort of shows that we're looking at having the county kind of take over some of those operations so we could focus on other priorities. So we saw that as an opportunity to really have the county come in under some agreement and operate both. Again, we're economically feasible, take over those responsibilities, and us be more of a customer. So again, under a contract and agreement for the county to operate. So there are a lot of details that would have to be worked out. A lot of decisions that would be beyond our authority. The wastewater plant is a bond-funded project. It was funded under lease revenue bonds, tax-exempt bonds. So I don't understand, you know, how this arrangement might work, whether we would propose, you know, retiring those bonds and selling new bonds if we're talking about a transfer of asset, or if we're talking about someone, again, like with our discussions with the county, someone else come in and running an asset. But I just wanted to give you a little background of what interaction we've had with the county and kind of what our position is there and what our motivation was.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And
thank
I really
you.
Appreciate you making the effort to come down here and speak to us, because it's a very important issue for us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, would you like me to continue?
There's one more tune.
Well, if he would like to, it's... I think maybe Fred's kind of summed it up in essence. Yeah, I think so too.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
So, Robert, you want me to go ahead and continue? First of all, I want to say again thanks to you folks for coming down here. It's very important. And I want to say thanks to John and Mr. Buckingham and staff, Rob. Very nice report. Very good work. Some might say that it's a little biased, but you have an opinion based on your delving into the issues deeply, and I think that comes through, but that's legitimate, and I don't have any, you know, bone to pick with you at all about that. I think what I'm probably most struck with is the more deeply we get into this whole issue, the more I'm struck by just all of the permutations that we have to consider going forward. The issues are, they're not getting smaller, they're actually getting larger, which is, or more numerous, which then speaks to, you know, how we really have a very important obligation to our community to really dig into this and be thorough and thoughtful. I think when it gets down to the bottom line for me, and where I don't think we've done enough work yet, and I'm going to identify some things that I think we should be continuing to look at more thoroughly, it probably does really get down to, and we haven't done this at all, is what do we really expect the cost to be? Let's just say Rancho Colina is it, and I'm perfectly happy with that as a solution. What is that cost going to be? How are we going to finance it? What is the impact going to be to our ratepayers over time? What are we going to do for those folks, and I think I've said this before, those folks who are on fixed incomes, how do we handle that? This is a big undertaking. It's probably, I might say, the most serious undertaking for our communities that we've ever had to experience. And for the city of Morro Bay, the loss of revenue from the energy plant, I think, is a significant issue, and I know you're trying to deal with that in many ways, too. The economics, to stay on this for a second, and this filters in over to our agricultural neighbors. The economics of the sale of the water, you've quoted $2 million a year, and I'm not going to say that's good or bad, or good analysis or bad analysis. I think we really need to dig into that and really come up with some high expectation, low expectation of what that may be. Obviously, if we're looking at the sale of treated effluent, and we're talking about our agricultural neighbors, are we looking at a contractual arrangement with these folks to always take? Because we're generating effluent all the time, and that is a resource that has money, it has an expectation. When you think about how that could help offset the cost and pay down the debt, I think that's really important. So I think we really need to look at that. We're going someplace. We're going to do this. We need to think about the dollars and cents. And I think, Dave, you know, you'd be excellent to help us, you know, weather that uncertainty going forward. So, you know, not an answer. I just want to say, let's be thinking about that as we go forward.
I just want to make sure that I'm clear on something. First, I did say it was a back of an envelope calculation that we were just
going through.
But also, I don't think we're talking necessarily about being able to sell that water. It would likely be able to repump more water that we don't have to pay for elsewhere, perhaps. I'm just sort of thinking through this, but Robbie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not sure we're in a position right now to actually sell water unless we clean it all away.
Typically, reclaimed water projects don't recover the costs of producing that reclaimed water because you really can't find the customers, especially looking at agricultural customers, when they can pump water, they're paying electrical costs and, you know, some delivery costs. So it's fairly nominal costs. They're not going to enter, you know, I think we heard in previous reports, you know, a couple $1,000 an acre foot if you include all the treatment costs in that. I think agricultural operations are paying somewhere less than $100 an acre foot for water. So realistically, I don't think we can expect to recover the entire cost of treatment because it's based on what the market will bear, not really the cost of delivering that water. And
I would also like to add one more thing, and this will be useful, I think, as we go along.
Obispo than we are isolated in Morro Bay. It's just a thought that just came up to my mind. Whether or not that's viable or not, I think this is really where we're going to get our hands dirty and roll up our sleeves. Let's kind of figure out what that's really all about. But so let me go down a couple of just random thoughts that I had here, and again, just not to solicit a response from you guys, but really part of our agenda going forward, because this is just the beginning of our journey, if you will. And I think all these things are really kind of important. So let me bore you with a few more comments. I think we need to look at the safe yield of the Morro Creek aquifer. Let's just reflect a little bit on Paso Robles groundwater basin. What's not to say that the agricultural users have exceeded the safe yield of Morro Creek? And what did the County of San Luis Obispo do? They stopped new planting. Now, Morro Creek hasn't risen to the level of the Paso groundwater basin, but the question still needs to be answered. Is it out of generosity or moral obligation that we would want to serve them because they've overplanted? I don't know. I don't want an answer. I just want to put that on the table as something I think we ought to consider going forward. What are the economic benefits of the agricultural products outside of the city limits to the city of Morro Bay? If you're saying let's go ahead and give them the water and they are a neighbor, what is the direct benefit to the community when you're considering perhaps the alternative use of the treated effluent? So it's just a thought, not going anywhere with it. Let's see, we probably should start to think about how to address agricultural use of treated effluent. How is that process going to work? Are we going to injection wells? Are we going to just flow it down the creek? How is all that going to work? And just from a, call it a functional standpoint. By way of disclosure, I have I'm personal friends with one of the largest growers in the Morro Creek area. And I'm talking to them about well, be thinking about what it is that you guys are willing to do and how important it is to you to have a reliable source of water going forward. So are we going to end up in a contractual relationship with them, or do they simply say, hey, it's rained, the creek's great, turn off the spigot, and then we've got infrastructure, and how do we deal with that? It's something I think we really need to think about and just simply work through it, whether it's at CMC or Morrow Creek. Same issue if we're going to look at using it. And again, reuse of treated effluent is the way we're going. It is the future. It is how we need to be good stewards of our resources. The bleak view of the authorization process between CDCR and the county and other agencies expressed in the JFR consulting report. What I heard is, yeah, they've got a process that's probably a little bit more complex than we're used to. If all things being equal and we had a benefit to it, we would need to enlist the energies of others to help them relieve themselves of that obligation, and we simply become operators. So I'm not quite so sure that the glass is half empty as it is half full, so in that regard. And I didn't hear a no way, Jose, from them. What I did hear is that, let's be aware, there is a complicated and convoluted process. But when there's motivation and interest, I believe you can move mountains. We did it in World War II. We've done it in other places. We can make things really happen. So I'm not dissuaded from that. My business is regulatory affairs. And I just think, well, there's a willing party or more, we can get to where we really want to go. How about this? What is the historic and current threat of seawater intrusion at the mouth of Morrow Creek? If it was important to identify in the Cleith report that, you know, we could stop that, certainly we know it to be a real serious issue in Los Osos, and that's why that they're going to inject the water in that area to keep that seawater intrusion from coming in and destroying their water source. I don't know the geology, and Tim Cleith is a personal friend of mine and a professional colleague, and I've spoke to him today, as a matter of fact. So I'd like to know how real that is as an issue for us to be concerned about. If it's a serious issue, I think it gets higher ranking on the threat scale before allowing us to go ahead and continue to buttress that against any future problems. I have to ask myself, what should we expect from the environmental review process relative to alternatives? Somebody from the public did mention Los Osos. I concern ourselves with that environmental review process. That kind of sums up my points, but what I'd like to say on a personal level is that this is really serious business, and I think we are really facing an opportunity to succeed, and that's the way I look at it. Rancho Colina, fine site. I don't have a problem with Rancho Colina at all. What I've been asking for all along is just let's try to get an apples-to-apples answer. I would say that we will get some cost information from Corolo, and maybe we'll see that on the meeting, Dave, where we're going to be presenting it to your technical committee, your community yeah. committee?
Right.
And then we're going to the 9th. We don't have a meeting in there for us to analyze it, so I want to for sure be at your meeting on the 3rd so that I get the advantage of it, so that I'm prepared to make wise comments on behalf of Cayucas at our JPA on the 11th after your meeting on the 9th, where you guys will probably want to tip one way or the other going forward. So I think that the JPA going forward is really now identifying where we're headed, how we're going to deal with these issues. And I'm just one guy in the room with some comments and some questions. And I know that we all have equally as many questions. So I want to look to my colleagues in the city of Morro Bay to roll up your sleeves. Let's deal with these things in a very thorough and it's going to be a time-consuming process going forward. I even encourage you, if you were to decide on the 9th, that you begin in some preliminary design studies so that in the event that we can get an EIR going quickly, that we have some real basic ideas of what is the facility, what's the grading, how is it all going to work, because I think the environmental impact report is going to need to look at that. I think CMC has the advantage of it's an existing facility, it's there, here's where you would add facilities to increase the treatment capacity of the facility, but we don't have that for Rancho Colina. So I would encourage you to begin some preliminary design studies on that level so that we get down to the ability to analyze the site. So I'm looking forward to a lot more work with you folks, and particularly the technical committee, and even if that changes composure or makeup, or if it stays the same, we're really going to be, I think, assisting the council and my fellow directors here in making the right decisions and doing what's best for our communities.
And I'd like to piggyback on that comment for a moment. I thought that was great, a lot of great input. Relative to the next steps and thinking about the environmental and design, you might want to take a look at the five-year schedule we put together, which isn't in this report. It is on the city's website, where we do realize we have to address those things quickly. I think there's a facilities master planning process, preliminary design work, trying to get an environmental consultant going as quickly as possible, frame the environmental issues up front. That's a long process, as you know. But those are things we're thinking about right away, and that all comes into play early on. So.
Yeah, and you know, when you say that too, the elephant in the room is the Coastal Commission. We've all had good news and good experiences and bad experiences with them. I'm just going to postulate this, just throw it out there. I guess there may be an opportunity for us to engage with them in a pre-discussion process, if you will, or pre-specific design process, just so that we can elicit a response from them to see if there is any way to head off a collision of conflicting views or processes. So just, I don't know if that's valid at all. I just want to throw it out there. I always believe in engaging in advance, if at all possible, to further the goals. So,
interesting. You mentioned that. Coastal staff will be here on next week to meet with city planning staff, and one of the topics, along with some of our local coastal plan issues, is our water reclamation facility studies so far, you know, to get some early input from them on the direction that we're headed with this.
Well, thank you, Rob. And what I would hope would either that you invite us to the conversation or you open it up a conversation with them to say, how can we deal with this on a public forum so that our community members have an opportunity to have the benefit of their perception of the process.
It's great. And what we intend to do is not try to get one site validated, but I think you described it well, to head off a collision
on the part of the public. So, President Enns, thank you for giving me the time and the mic.
Thank you. Cayucas, anyone else? Dan?
What are the terms and costs that you guys have discussed with Mr. McElveen to date for the Rancho Colina site?
We have not had those detailed discussions regarding terms and costs yet. I think Mr. McElveen understands the public purchase process and what public agencies can pay for land. We've put a draft list of wants and desires together, you know, how much area would be needed. I think, you know, things like he wants to keep access to his house there when we build our.
That'd
so
be nice.
We'll be moving that forward with a draft MOU that will be coming forward to City Council.
Michael.
This is my last JPA meeting, so I have some comments at the end of the meeting, but I'd like to make a couple of things. I've been on this board for 6 years, and probably the first 4 years, really a lot of the time, I was in dissent on the majority of the opinion, but always I was fair to say, you know, I felt respected and proud to say that I was a member of the JPA. You know, these last couple of years, this dissension between these two communities is just, I think it's just really awful. Last week we talked about the importance of regionalism in this plant and, you know, having a regional solution. Well, it seems to me that regionalism starts with us. You know, we're a region. You know, and when are we going to start putting the pedal to the metal on acting like a region? We aren't, and we haven't been. And, you know, why don't we quit dancing around it and start dealing with it? And I'm not trying to lay blame. I think we're all guilty of it. But it's crazy. Probably, I don't know, but probably 90% of the costs of operating a plant are fixed. You know, we're your junior partners, but we pay 30% of the operating expense of the plant based on flow. So, you know, it's silly to think of either of us going our own way. It's silly for the ratepayers. And nobody has, you know, put that math to the back of an envelope. So anyway, it's quite irrational. you know, I've been married for 25 years, and just dawned on my wife and I, who are happily married, to hire a kind of a coach to help us communicate. You know, we had our first coaching lesson last week, and one of the things they talked about is, you know, what you don't do in communicating is you don't come in and say, okay, I want this and I want that. You write down a list of seven or eight things, and you put a circle around the four or five things that you both kind of have in common, and those are the ones you start as your basis of discussion. So to say that we're going to come in next week and, you know, we're going to have our plant, we're going to have our site, and you're going to have your site, and somehow we're either going to agree on it or not agree on it, and if we don't agree, what the consequences of that is
been on the list for 12 months. Thank you. I don't know if we've reached what you call the robust alternative analysis yet. When I'm having a problem understanding what costs are associated with the two options, and I'm also having a problem with what is the design for the two options. It appears that you have to do some preliminary design before you can establish a cost. But just let me say this. I think the most important thing that we need to understand tonight, and Michael touched on that a moment ago, is we agreed almost 2 years ago to look separately. Morro Bay's done a remarkable job here with Mr. Rickenbach and Mike Nunley. Thank you, Mike. And I think Cayucas had done some preliminary work with WSC. It was clear to them what they'd like to do. I think it's now time that we look together, get together, become one in our effort to go forward. Having said that, I think that Cayuga certainly will be concerned, and Dan Lloyd addressed this for us. We're concerned about our rates, what our ratepayers are going to have to pay, what's the cost of construction, what's the cost to operate the plant, and what's the proposed rate structure for our community. I believe that when we get to the real robust analysis, we'll know those answers. I do believe it's time for us to sit down and make an agreement on how we want to work together on this project, wherever it is, as we go forward. I'd like to think of it as the first chapter of the new JPA that will be required here as we move forward. I'd also throw out a recommendation here at this point that in that regard, we ask the Morro Bay attorney, the Morro Bay city manager, at least one member of the council, our attorney and our manager, and one member from our board to get together and talk about how we move forward jointly. And when I suggest that, I'm suggesting things like, well, what percentage of the new effort are we now going to share? How much are we going to pay? How do we bind one another to work together? So I think that could be clarified if we had a small group to lead us to some recommendation. I don't know that we can do that by the 18th of December, but that would be something perhaps we could put on the next agenda. So I'm not going to belabor any of the other points in here. I think that's all the comments I have, and I'd look to the mayor for comments from Morro Bay.
Thank you, President Enns and Cayuga's board. Are there any? We still do have a public comment. We were going through your questions. It seems like we've done questions and closing or conclusion remarks, but I'll look to our board. Noah, it looks like you might want to start out.
Yes, thank you. Am I live, Dave?
Yes, John.
Okay, thank you. And great conversation all around. This is something that I felt after leaving last night's meeting, which overall was very productive. We did not touch on, and probably the most significant component is how are we going to work together and move forward in our regional effort, which indeed it is. And I think some of the things that you've brought up tonight are exactly the items that we do need to talk about. And I think the suggestion from President Enns to begin that effort, at least drafting some key issues and steps forward, would be helpful. I think I'd leave it up to our staff to decide how structured we could be by the next JPA meeting on that item. It would be certainly nice to have maybe some draft components to talk about at the next meeting to keep this thing moving. I would certainly support that. Definitely the idea that Mr. Foster, you raised regarding how we present ourselves and our main concerns at the next meeting is a good one. And one of the things that we had thought about was we, from Morro Bay's side, you saw our draft of goals and priorities that we came up with through the community input process. And I know from Mr. Enns, you had also started working on some from Cayuga's side. It sure would be nice if we led with that. You know, what are premier goals and objectives of this project? See if we can't come up with those together, approve something as a body to work off of going forward. That, I think, speaks to what Ms. Act, to give us just a better understanding overall of the process for each of the sites and perhaps a little more detail on the agreement side with Rancho Colina and Mr. McElvain. Another item why we have CDCR here, we did talk about Cayucas getting you guys out to tour the Rancho Colina site. I think that would be an excellent thing to follow up on. I've had the chance to tour the CMC site many years ago, but I think it probably would be some good due diligence on all of our part if that was possible before December 9th. I know that you have some challenges with that recently.
It's definitely possible. If you want to set it up, let me know, and I'll make it happen.
Oh, great. Okay. That would be something to work on coming out of this, so we have that under our belts as well. And then just the last item, I think, regarding the water supply, because I've heard concerns from our community about, hey, you can't just go out there and go out to Moro Valley and subsidize farmers and throw that water around and you know, on the backs of our community and our own pocketbooks. And I've definitely thought a lot about that. And my approach, and I think all of ours, would be the first priority is the highest value to our communities with that water. And having an equitable relationship on the value of that water, if, you know, in some cases Moro Bay receives better value or benefit than Cayucas, well, there's got to be a way for us to determine, you know, a shared benefit all around that's comfortable and agreed upon. So that would probably be, you know, part of the work product of, you know, a future agreement between the community. So I just wanted to say that because I think, you know, the agricultural component in the Moro Valley is very important to all of us, but first and foremost, we need to stabilize our own water supplies and approach the project that way within the reason and affordability that we can be comfortable with and know we can depend on into the future. So those are my comments, and I just I think I'll wait to talk about scheduling the CMC tour. Just maybe we just direct staff to try to coordinate that towards the end of the meeting tonight.
Nancy?
Am I on? I hope so. Okay, I really appreciate the input from Cayucas this evening. Thank you very much. I think you've brought up a lot of important points that we have not heard recently, at least. I specifically and especially agree with Mr. Foster about how it would be crazy not to work together. Neither one of these communities can afford to do this on our own, and I think the idea of coming together to compare goals and priorities and then to develop common goals and priorities and work towards those has to be very, very important. Just one last comment. We keep talking about the value of Rancho Colina water and the value to the agriculture out there. And we also were talking about all the different agencies that are involved if we go to CMC. I think we also have to realize, too, and I haven't heard anybody say this in a while, maybe we're just assuming it, which we all know is never a good idea. Rancho Colina is not in the city of Moro Bay. It is in the county, which means we're going to have county issues. It's on a state highway, Highway 41, which means going there, we're going to have state issues. Yes, the avocados are wonderful, and they probably do help our economy to a degree, but those people aren't paying any taxes or whatever on their product to the city of Moro Bay. And my last understanding was that annexation is not a possibility. Maybe it's something we have to go back and look at. You have to go back and look at. I'm in the same boat with Mr. Foster. But I think these are issues that we need to seriously consider as we move on.
One thing I'd like to address is on the annexation question. We knew that was a concern. I just talked with David Church at LAFCO just this week to confirm what their position would be on annexation. And first of all, he was receptive. Of course, he can't speak for the LAFCO board itself, but from the staff's perspective and a regulatory perspective, annexation is a definite possibility. It does not have to be contiguous with the rest of the city. It can be an island annexation because it's a public facility. He thought there's a path to getting there, but obviously he can't commit to more than that at this point.
Thank you.
George or Christine? Christine?
Yes, good evening, everyone. It's the first time I'm speaking this evening. You know, I'm going to stick along
the lines of a family analogy that Mr. Foster started, and I'm going to take a look at it from a parenting perspective. And I think it's good to relay our real-life experience to our experience in civic matters. So what I was thinking about is that in my world with a 9-year-old, we often take timeouts. And the way I sort of look at where we are today is we're coming out of maybe a timeout from one another in our JPA experience, and we're transitioning into what I do believe, and certainly sounds like we all agree on, is a new chapter, as Mr. N said, about for our JPA. So I haven't been on the board except in these past nearly 2 years, and it's true that we have had a level of tension that is probably uncomfortable for all of us and likely unproductive for our communities. So I am looking forward to getting through the transition time as quickly as we can, and I think the things that we've all laid out, that we've heard about earlier, having a discussion to begin our discussions about a new JPA structure, creating shared goals for the two groups together, a rough outline, getting more information from the CMC option, touring the sites, if you haven't been to mm-hmm. Rancho Colina, doing that one, mm-hmm. finding out some details about a deal at Rancho Colina or not. These are things that I've heard that I absolutely agree with. And then in addition, because of the nature of a city council, we do meet every 2 weeks for a variety of issues. So for us, it's been relatively convenient to schedule all the different reports that have come forward to air them with our community for the five of us plus our staff to discuss what we're reading, getting input from community, and then trying to make some decisions. So it hasn't. That's not always the case for other bodies. And you know, obviously, we have to get together for lots of things every 2 weeks in Morro Bay. So I think that time was well spent preparing us to get to the point where we are tonight, which is to have a fairly clear understanding of the options that are out there and where we need to go. What's missing is the joint process of working with Cayucas for the benefit of our ratepayers. And I would just say, too, that at no time I think I've heard any of us ever say in my tenure on the board that we're not concerned about the ratepayer. I think we've all consistently mentioned that as a concern for both of our communities. And I've also actually thought about it in a positive light. I've never heard us say up here that we don't want to work together. I've never heard anyone utter anything even close to that. I think what we've been saying is we know we need to work together, and we likely want to work together, and it makes sense for us to do so for the ratepayer. I just think I'm going back to that time when we just had a transition, and it's natural for folks like us to go through this after one decision has been pursued and then not come to fruition. So I honestly have to say I'm fairly impressed that we've been able to get through this time as well as we have. A lot of boards don't necessarily do this without a lot more angst than what we've been able to bring. So I really think that it's not quite as bad as it could have been. Not that it's been necessarily pleasant, but I think it could have been much worse. So I would just like to recognize our staffs for helping us maintain this focus. I think a lot of it is we're maintaining our focus on the current plant, so that it helps us have a shared reason to come together to ensure that we're able to function the way we are with our current plant, and to make sure that decisions we make about the future don't unduly have a hardship on that plant and cost us at the end and the ratepayer more. So I think it's been great to have some honest communication. That's one thing we talked about last night at the end of the meeting. We also talked a little bit about having two options, and that's a positive thing. A lot of communities get their back against the wall and they don't have many options. Fortunately, we do have two options that we're exploring. And, you know, I'm wondering, the way I feel tonight is, I just kind of wrote it down, I feel like, well, Cayucas, here we are. Morro Bay is kind of saying, here's where we are with the information we've gathered. And it's exciting to hear you say kind of where you think you're going to, where you are now, or what you think about where we are. And there were two things that were mentioned that I'd love to have more information about if you're able to disclose or discuss. And that is one question that, Mr. Enns, you mentioned in the beginning that there might be a possibility on the Cayuga side of a property that might be available for some kind of siting. So if there's any more about that that you're able to share. And then also, Mr. Lloyd, you mentioned that you happened to speak directly with Mr. Cleith of Cleith Harris, and I'm just wondering if you wanted to share anything that he may have told you about his analysis he did for the city of Morro Bay. So I'll give you a chance to reply, and then I'll finish.
Oh, great. Yeah, it was a really simple conversation with Mr. Cleith, because I hadn't read his report, and because I just trust what Tim does. And he said basically what was reported by John also, that essentially both basins have value to the community and that they're both very viable. My concern, I didn't get into it. Having read John's report this morning at about 5 o'clock, I was the seawater intrusion, or I would have asked Tim about that, which I can. So I was encouraged that essentially both areas are pretty good. In fact, I liked more of the discussion that John had about the potential agricultural benefit up the Chorro Valley. And I actually, if you look at how much planting is going on in the Morro Valley, if you think about the Chorro Valley, it really might even be able to be expanded, you know, because God, they just seem to plant anything anywhere in that area. So I'm glad that we're looking at that level of detail, you know, as options and benefits.
Okay, thank you very much for that response. And then I think there was one other question about a comment was made earlier about the... I'm sorry. Did you want to speak to that?
Excuse me.
To the Cleith Harris?
I didn't know it wouldn't be a good opportunity to jump in, but I did want to respond to the seawater intrusion question. I had the very same question for Spencer Harris. And what we discussed was... What are the risks of seawater intrusion in either aquifer? And what Spencer explained to me was, due to the proximity of those Morro wells, the Morro well field, to the ocean, versus the fact that those Chorro wells are set farther back, that he felt like in their opinion, there's a greater opportunity and there's more evidence of seawater intrusion because of the drawdown of the, you know, because of the wells being a part of that, versus Chorro Valley, really the wells are farther inland compared to the ocean. So I do want to respond to that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. And then I don't know if there was a response coming from the Cayucas side about another potential site for an option. I know it was mentioned early on.
Rick, do you want to mention what that was? It was just a letter. We just got it today.
Yeah, we you step to the mic, please?
I just got it on my desk today. I haven't even looked at it any more than that. So it was just somebody that dropped a letter by. So no detail yet.
Was there a baby with it?
What's that?
Was there a baby with it?
They sent their bill in, so I figured that was a good thing.
Was it blue or pink?
Oh, I know, we keep going with the family analogies. I got it, yeah. I'm sorry, a little slow on that. Thanks. Okay, great. Well, that's an interesting kind of a new development, and that's something that if there's more information to be shared about that, I'm sure that you will do. I'm sure that Cayucas will share that as appropriate. And then just one thing I wanted to run by about the reclamation discussion we're having. You know, I think in the beginning for Morro Bay, we talked a lot about being reclamation ready, which is terminology that basically you just take from successful projects that have been supported by the regulatory agencies. So I know we spent a lot of time on our council talking about being reclamation ready. And I just wanted to get a little clarity from staff on what I thought was the situation. So my understanding is, for example, if we look at Los Osos, what I've learned is that what helps and what a regulatory agency like Coastal Commission is going to expect is that there will be at least one dedicated user for some of the reclamation water that comes from the plant. So my understanding is that plant, part of their permitting was to have at least one reclaimed water user. And at this point, based on the regulatory nature of water prior, obviously, to a major drought and to Prop 1 that will change the face of it, that the easiest way to provide reclaimed water to meet your regulatory need was to find an ag user and to adjust the water for an ag use, an ag purpose. So just wanted to know if that was off base or not.
Well, since we don't have a project in front of Coastal, we can't really accurately assess what the conditions would be. But I don't think it's unreasonable to assume that we would have to have some form of reclamation from the get-go. Los Osos is in a different situation. Their basin is in overdraft. They are using the approach of in-lieu recharge also, where they're providing agricultural operations reclaimed water in lieu of them extracting groundwater. So they are, that's how they're recharging their groundwater from the agricultural operations. They also have some percolation ponds that will be land application, I guess, is probably a better term than percolation ponds, because we don't want to say anything about ground or direct groundwater recharge because of the regulatory requirements. But they will have percolation ponds also that will recharge that groundwater. But the benefit to the groundwater is by providing that in-lieu recharge. So, and that was the scenario that we're looking at in the Moro Valley, was in-lieu recharge, providing the agricultural operations reclaim water in lieu of them pumping groundwater through some contractual relationship, and that would allow us to benefit from that natural groundwater to our own city wells.
Okay, thanks. I think that's a great explanation. But so it may not be exactly what's happening in our neighboring city, but the chances are there will be some. We need to think about some sort of reclamation process built into our project from the beginning. My understanding was that that is something that Coastal in particular will look for.
Potentially. I think we have to have discussions.
Correct.
To point with Coastal before we can say yes or no, but I would presume so, since that was one of the denial findings on the existing project.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Sure.
If what you're asking is if there would be a requirement from Coastal that we show at least one reuser of water, I think that would be easy at either site. There are downstream agricultural users at both sites that would be thrilled to death to have to and it would be almost a zero cost solution. You wouldn't have to pump water up anywhere if there's downstream users at both sites. So that, I think that will be an easy one at either site.
Okay, great. And then where I was going with that is a lot of our discussion in the Rickenbach report has been about ag reuse and ag using reclaimed water for ag. And I was just making sure I was correct. And my next thought was, well, currently the way we're reusing water in California, it's acceptable most commonly to use it for ag. We're not necessarily seeing other uses developing as quickly as that ag use.
I think that will change in fairly short term. The governor has ordered regulations to be developed, and I think they're supposed to be on the streets for indirect potable recharge this year, indirect potable reuse this year, and in 4 years, the state board has been charged with developing regulations for direct potable reuse.
Okay, so that expands our options.
Yes.
Okay, so then that makes it fair. So that's a whole other aspect moving forward that we're going to want to talk about in our partnership with Cayucas.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying that. I wanted to be sure I understood. But I think that it's pretty exciting coming into this now at the time when we've just had the water bond passed. No matter how you feel about the water bond, it did pass. So there will be opportunities that will open up for communities like ours. So thanks for the good conversation on both sides. And as always, thanks for the public comment. A special thanks to you, our guests who've come to talk to us about our project and the potential for a partnership in the future. So, and I'll look forward to you if we're going to make some motions or direct staff. That's great.
Thanks. And I'll just have a couple of remarks. I guess at some point we do need to go back to a public comment, but in just the way the flow of how everything has gone, I'll just respond to a couple of things. First of all, Michael, thanks for your service. I think you started something off here. I think there was a theme that just kind of transcended from your conversation this way. Interesting that when we look at it, and there's been many common themes that have been exchanged here, primarily shared goals. Almost 2 years ago when we came together at a meeting and decided, you know what, we're going to take separate paths in this, that took away any opportunity for shared goals. And I think it's been a difficult journey. And I think to come back at this meeting, the next meeting, and discuss a joint agreement on how this board moves forward is a huge step. Because at that point, we get to discuss shared goals. And all the questions that we go back and forth at, we get to put down on the paper, as you described, with a coach. And I think it's a great discussion because, you know, even after 25 years of marriage and talking about a coach, we've had whether or not you want to call this a timeout, perhaps this board could use a coach, a facilitator in identifying what shared goals, a joint agreement, and a journey together into coming to a future water reclamation facility. So I think, you know, first, thanks for your service. Thanks for kicking off this discussion in which you did. And I think we've, you know, this, we got, I feel as though I'm kind of responding more to your comments, but it does lend itself to where we are tonight. And we have gone in separate paths, but we are coming together. And it seems very clear that that's what we'll be making the decision to do. So I'm excited about December 9th and having this council come back together with all the Corolla reports. And I'm even more excited about December 11th when the JPA will come back together and talk about what it is we want to do, shared goals, an agreement to which this board wants to move forward together. Because quite frankly, we haven't done that. We made it separate decisions, and it hasn't been healthy. So anyway, I just wanted to respond to you, Michael, and I know you want to take some time for closing remarks when we conclude with our agenda item here tonight. So I'd be welcoming those. And at this point, since we've steered a little bit, we do have the opportunity for public comment. Who would like to speak to the item before us, and that is the review and the discussion of the site selection that we just went through. I know some have already gone through that public comment, but if there's any other public comment at this time, please come forward, state your name, and you have 3 minutes.
You know what, I don't want to Morro Bay. I do know I commented earlier. I was more calming on last night's meeting. There's been a couple items that came up that weren't, you know, discussed last night. And I just wanted to make a couple little comments, if you allow me. And that is, as far as storage facility, that seems to be a fairly important issue, you know, on off-site storage. And I might mention that the Whale Rock Reservoir, about 90% of the time, has surplus capacity because it normally only overflows maybe once every 10 years at best. And even in a flood year, it would be no problem to raise the level about a foot. It has a surface area about 600 acre feet. But the point being is you have a pipeline going right through Morro Bay, Cayucas. And so you could actually just backflow all that water into Whale Rock if you needed a storage area. It's very simple. Just that thought. And then the other thought was, as far as the CMC site and the Morro Valley site, I think you would be locked in on an ox ditch on the CMC site. The Morro site, you have that option, but you also have an option for an MBR plant, you know, like a PERC-type plant. They can be off the shelf, 18 months set fee. So you do have a fixed cost there. So when you are actually comparing costs of the two sites, you have to consider other options at the Morro Valley site that are not an option at the CMC site. So you might have less expensive options in full recycling type plants that can be put in the Morro Valley site that would not fit in the CMC site. So just a couple points. Thank you.
Thank you. Marlo.
Okay, here. I just have a thing that's in my way of reading.
Just state your name real briefly.
Marla Jo Bouton-Sadowski. Thank you. As far as the EIR report, I'd like to ask Mr. Rickenbach if he's aware of AB 52 and or our staff, your staff, AB 52. It's relatively new legislation, but as far as any EIR goes, the Native American community is to be first on the list to be consulted. And so in this area, the Northern Chumash Tribal Council Administrator Fred Collins would be a good place to start as far as cultural resources and EIRs and any mitigations that have to go through. Also, I'm assuming that when we're building this plant, our goal at one time with the other plant and the NRDC's goal, there were quite a few different NGOs involved in that, and they were going for full tertiary treatment as quickly as possible. So I'm hoping that that full tertiary treatment is still at the top of the list for us, because that's where we're going to be able to use the water in many different ways, not just for ag. Also, talking about maybe looking into Orange County had their toilet to tap, it was called. It was very controversial. But in the years since that has become a staple down there, they have customers and ratepayers asking for more Title 22 water, asking, and also in Monterey, the same situation is arising there. They don't have enough Title 22 water for the customers, and the ratepayers do benefit from it. So that's another thing to look at. And and then also a point I have with a question, I guess a legal question, with the Cayucas Sanitary District being a special district and a 501c, they have a 4 capacity, so they're able to lobby. But it's my understanding that they do not have any purview over water, usable water. The only task that they are tasked with and the only thing that they have purview over is the sewage. So I think that I would like to have you look into that as far as Morro Bay goes. And as far as the operator of the plant, that it's my understanding that the owner and operator of the owner of the plant has the first right to the reclaimed water. So I don't know how that would work with CSD. Maybe Cayucas might want to have a community services district or something like that to handle that situation for their community, if I'm correct. I may be not. I'm asking. Okay, thanks. Also,
going to have to ask you to wrap it up, please, okay. Marlo. Thank you.
And as far as the saltwater intrusion in Chorro Valley, the decision 1633 from the State Water Board directly is involved with saltwater intrusion in Chorro Valley, and so I don't believe it's quite correct that Morro may have more problem and Chorro doesn't, because Chorro's further away from the ocean and Morro. 1633 directly dealt with saltwater intrusion in Chorro Valley. So, thank you.
Thank you, Marlo.
If no more for public comment, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. Thank you for that. Opportunity to respond to some of the questions as far as AB 52 and the EIR and perhaps the water rights issue. Is there an opportunity to respond to that at this time? Thank you, John.
I'll touch on the AB 52 question.
Sure.
I'll touch on the AB 52 question. I'm generally familiar, but obviously that and a series of other consultation issues go with the CEQA process. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into it, but we're prepared to deal with that at the staff level and working with consultants. Sure.
Mr. Lloyd, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for all that. So at this time, I think we have had great discussion. We've discussed a plan for direction in which we want to proceed for our next council meeting and next JPA meeting. Do we want to discuss in detail and make sure we have all that captured? And do we need to convey that in the form of a motion? And I'm just looking for staff input on that.
I think staff is fairly clear on what the direction of council is, where we're going for our next JPA meeting, and I'm not sure that a motion is required. I think we all took good notes here. So,
just for clarification, would it be simple enough to just kind of summarize some of those talking points?
Sure. We're bringing back to the JPA, the let me go back to my notes.
Okay.
So, if you would just give us a minute.
Sure.
To,
thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
And then perhaps we'll look towards Cayucas Board on. Beg your pardon?
Yes.
Okay. Just a second. Are you guys okay?
Shirley has a comment. Okay. Like make Shirley, please.
Yeah, I would just like to, I was just thinking about the report that we just saw, and I thought it was very, very good and very thorough. But I did have a question about it. We were, it kept referring as to Cayucas as a customer. And so I was just wondering how that's going to shape up if we go into another JPA agreement.
I'll answer that. I think the report spoke to that mostly because it's an unknown. We really don't know what framework would be out there, and it's potentially true that there's a customer situation. I think the assumption there was based on the possibility that you wouldn't be necessarily working together as closely as you appear to be now. That's an open question. You can set up whatever framework works for everybody.
Anything else, Robert?
Anyone else from Cayucas like to comment? I think we're done.
Okay. Noah, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I did. And it's to Mr. Rickenbach following up on the AB 52 comment. And I think we're all trying our best to come up with information points and efforts between now and December 9th to really just limit the number of surprises, maximize the amount of information. And what I'm seeing is a really significant effort to bring the different stakeholders and agencies into the room, get as much comment as possible from them, for example, with Coastal, and hopefully they will follow through with some form of a public comment letter that could be shared. But I also do think it would be nice, considering the Chumash tribe, when they arrived at our one of our workshops, their specific request was to be kept in the loop, and the last thing we want to do is come off as adversarial on that angle as well. So we probably do want to extend an announcement to them of where we are and an invitation for them to submit comments on either side as well. I think that would probably be a good choice there.
in addition to the Shumash representative, we've had the Selenian representative attend many of our meetings, so I think we should reach out to all tribal representatives in the area to make sure that we have all the bases covered, because I think AB 52 does speak to that, where it's not, you know, just one representative, it's all. You know, some of the things that we need to bring back for next time include the results of the Corolla analysis, the cost and the siting study, and how it compares to cost and siting on the Rancho Colina site. Bring back some staff level discussion on how we would put together the committee for the formation of the new JPA, for lack of a better term. We had some discussion on bringing back each community's goals so they could be merged together and come up with a common shared goal. And then update of our discussions with Coastal, and hopefully some sort of public process, either some sort of correspondence from Coastal or have them attend a meeting. That's probably unlikely that they would attend a public meeting other than their own. And then information regarding our MOU on the Rancho Colina site and the description of the institutional process that we would go through to get a site facilitated on the CMC site. So what are the steps and which different agencies do we need to talk to and when to move forward on the CMC site? Those are what I have on my list.
Yeah, the only other item, because it doesn't seem like you have enough to do, is if you could coordinate a tour of the CMC with all of these cats that you have coming down, and yeah, both sites.
Christine, did you have a comment? Okay, thanks for recapping that. Appreciate it. And, of course, adding one more thing to the list, that was always good. And as far as the Corolla study goes, obviously we're going to report back that at our December 9th meeting and December 11th meeting. But when that does come out, will we, as the study comes out, we will be sharing that study, the results of the study, for the entire Cayuga CSD and staff?
Yes, they'll get a copy of even the admin draft before it goes to public to their general manager for review, and then the final report will go out to the entire world.
Okay.
And I'd like to add to that, too. When we talk about releasing the Corolla study, it's a little more than that. There's the Corolla report. There's Mike Nunley's working with the Corolla report to develop more information on Rancho Colina using the assumptions of the Corolla report. So there's the whole appendix that Mike's putting together. You'll see that's new. And then he'll have another ancillary report that goes into costing issues as well and design issues at Rancho Colina, again, building off the Corolla report. And we've got to fold that all into the parent report, but we really want to focus on that series of new stuff, but it's more than just the Corolla report.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. And Noah, just one more.
Yeah, and just to confirm, most of that will be daylighted at our Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee on December 3rd. As Mr. Lloyd pointed out, would be an excellent place for all of us to attend and observe, to start to digest and listen to the comments and discussion there as well.
Yes, and that meeting will be held 3 to 5 p.m. December 3rd, and the location is in the studio, which is in the front part of this building. So that's the location that was available for that meeting.
Okay. Thanks for all that. I think we're clear on that. And maybe perhaps one more request from Cayucas is, you know, if there is a letter that just came forward as far as an optional site, perhaps you can share that with our staff so we'd be aware of what that option might look like. That'd be great. And I think we're pretty well concluded. Robert?
I just want to especially thank the gentleman from CDCR coming, Warden Valenzuela, Fred Cordano, and the silent one, Troy King. Thank you very much for being here.
And Warden Valenzuela, thank you.
Report where there's no inmate, and you guys want to.
I'm
come
sorry,
out?
Could you raise the mic? So, I mean, we have Fritz recorded, right, so maybe okay. We can catch up on that.
Two things: you guys have this long report, never mentions inmates, and you guys want to come tour the sewage plant, not the prison.
Yeah.
Nancy's been there, so. But
it's a very nice prison.
Yes, it is. So we'll accommodate you. Just you guys can contact us. Contact sure person will be Troy King, and then we'll tour you around.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'd also Troy. Like the files on why Mr. Smuggler was at the prison during that period.
I do have an expiration date.
And before, so do you want to conclude this? And do you have closing remarks on this, or just closing remarks at the end of the meeting?
Yeah, I just have a remark I want to say because this is Nancy and I's last meeting. So I want to just, it's been said before, but as we move ahead here, as you guys move ahead, I hope you really, really consider the cost of these things. Because, you know, there's a lot of elderly people that are living in Morro Bay. They're just barely hanging on. And, you know, we might not understand what it is to, a lot of us don't understand what it is to miss out on extra things of life. But I listen to these people that walk the waterfront because they walk down there and I talk to them. That's the only entertainment they can afford, to walk down on the beach and back. And they're just barely hanging on. And if we put much more burden on these people, they're just going to have an awful time. So the cost of moving ahead on this project should be really taken into consideration, because our ratepayers are going to suffer if you don't. Thank you very much for a chance to serve on this for the last 4 years. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you, George. Nancy, did you have some closing remarks as well?
Sure, why not, since George started it. Yes, it is a lovely prison, and they provide donuts over there, you guys. As a local senior citizen on a very fixed income, I understand what we're talking about, especially with water rates. I would like to get back to watering my garden again someday. It might look a little better than dead. But so we really need to keep the rates down and maybe find some reused water for those of us who try to grow a few dahlias and things. It's been a good 4 years. Thank you, Cayucas. We've enjoyed getting to know you. That's it. Goodbye.
Thank you.
I'd like to say thanks to George and Nancy, and also Mike for serving on our board. And I'd like to just comment that George and Nancy, I think, put forward a spirit of cooperation throughout their time on the board. Cayucas appreciated that. But also, if we could ask John Edding to just step up to the mic and introduce himself, I think we're going to see a lot more of you in the future.
John Edding, elected Morro Bay City Council person beginning December the 9th.
Thank you, John.
Glad to be part of it. Thanks.
Looking forward to seeing you. Any other comments from Cayucas?
Yeah, I got it. I'm also saying goodbye, and I just wanted to say to the public, you know, we all know that we wrote off over $2.5 million of costs on the failed plant last fiscal year, and that's on top. That doesn't include legal fees and staff time and other costs. And you know, it happened on my watch. And to the public, I just want to say that I'm accountable, and I'm sorry that that happened. And to the board, it's, I think that we owe the public, we need to look at how that happened. Not to find blame, but to see that we're not walking that same path, which somewhere in my business instincts tell me we are. You know, a different road, but kind of the same direction. I'm not sure we're really asking the right question. We're finding a different location, but our methodology seems to be exactly the same. And we have not had that discussion. We have not wanted to take that bit of self-examination, and I don't think that that's healthy. And just, you know, that in terms of that regionalism, I think the best thing would be that a facilitator be hired and some kind of a retreat be established for the board to go and air out these differences. And one of them might be to just review that process, those minutes, these tapes, to see how we got so far into that game that all of that money got spent. The last thing I want to say is to the staff, you are the people that make it all happen. To Bruce and all of the people at the sanitation, the treatment plant, in 6 years, never a fine, never a penalty, never a missed deadline. It's just you make it seem so simple and so easy, and it's not. You just make us look so good. You know, we're the elected officials. We come and go, but you're the people that get up in the morning and come to work every day, and you take the calls at night, and you set your own standards for excellence, and you're the people that need to be thanked for your service. And I want to thank you for everything you do, all of you on the staff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. At this time, I think we've concluded all our staff reports and agenda items, and thanks everyone for their service and their closing remarks, and this meeting is adjourned.